Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes, there we go.
Okay, great. Cool. Don't know what happened there before, but...
Yeah, that was weird.
All right, cool. All right, so let's start with your year of graduation, including if that was spring, summer, fall, and sure. Your major or majors.
Okay, so I graduated in 2017, the spring semester of 2017. I majored in film scoring and technically a minor in video game scoring. I don't know how it works exactly now, because I think it was kind of mid progress of changing, but when I was there, you could kind of finish the film scoring degree with kind of more of a focus in the video game scoring side.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did.
I think that's the same still.
Okay. So yeah, that's what I did. I finished with mostly focusing on video game scoring, but it was technically a minor.
Got it. And what was your principal instrument?
French horn.
Oh, I've heard that. Remember someone once saying that if he didn't practice for like 3 days, he totally lost his form.
Oh yeah, it's one of those instruments that's very easy to lose your embouchure for. It's one of the brass instruments, and I have not picked up mine in like 4 years.
Okay, looking more into that later. Although, wait, I'm doing some math now because it's 2019 now, uh-huh. And if you graduate 2017, which suggests uh-huh. you weren't actually doing your principal instrument for the last couple of years at Berkeley.
You'd be correct.
You took all your music competency that were all about the composing.
Yeah, basically. I mean, probably is like 3 years since I really touched it. But yeah, the last couple of years, especially the last year of school, I really didn't touch the instrument.
All right, cool. So we will get to your history later.
Sure.
But for now, tell us about your current job. Where do you work? What do you do?
So I am a software developer at a very small, well, getting a little bigger, but a relatively small software company called DataCore Incorporated. The
Data C-O-R-E Incorporated?
Yeah, D-A-T-A-C-O-R, Inc. it is...
Yeah, about how big's the company in terms of people, and what did they do?
So when I started, I think we had like 50 or 60, but we've now grown to around 70 or 80, something like that. So we're mid-growth. I think probably in a couple of years it'll be at around 100.
Sure.
We provide all-inclusive software package for chemical companies, be it companies in the distribution sector or the manufacturing sector, or anywhere in between. And it does everything from batch manufacturing all the way down to the accounting and stuff like that.
It makes me think of, there's that popular software Salesforce, but this sounds like a very specialized version of it.
Yes, that's basically exactly what it is. If you've ever used Salesforce, this is very similar. We get compared to that a lot. It's kind of a combination of Salesforce and QuickBooks, if you've ever heard of that, because that's the kind of accounting software of choice of a lot of people. And then throw in the specialized needs for the chemical industry.
Got it. So this is your company's proprietary software then that you sell to companies?
Yeah. We work directly with our customers. A lot of what we do is customizing and like modifications for individual customers. A lot of the people that work there are support reps, so they deal directly with customers. I'm one of the developers, so I don't normally deal with customers directly. We have a couple offshoot projects. So one of the things that I'm doing personally is a mobile app. So I have to deal with one of the customers for that because it's kind of a side project. But for the most part, I don't really deal with the customers too much.
Got it. So out of the 70 to 80 people there, how many are developers like you, roughly?
So the company is split into two teams. On my team is the larger one. We have like 40-ish, 30-something people. And of our team, there's 7 developers. And basically the rest of them are all either support reps or we call them implementation specialists, which basically are people that go out to new customers and kind of get them set up and more deal with more specialized questions. So there's about seven of us on the development team. And then on the other side of the office, I think it's probably like five developers. So in the company in total, it's like probably 10 to 20 developers.
Sure, sure. And by the way, what's your official title?
I don't remember. It's either... See, when I started, they kind of went through a transitionary period where everyone was just called, unless you were kind of a higher up executive or manager, everyone was just called a product specialist or something like that, product consultant or something like that.
Okay.
But they kind of changed it, so now some of the new people coming in have more like specific roles. I think at this point, probably would be just considered a software developer. That's what I say. It's a lot easier for people to understand.
Yeah. Totally.
But yeah, I think officially it's software developer.
Got it. Does your company use Waterfall or Agile?
We don't use any of those.
Okay.
We're kind of, I don't know what the word for it is, but kind of behind the times, I guess, in terms of development stuff. A lot of what my job is converting the old legacy software, which was written in VB6, to the quote-unquote new software, which is written in VB.net, which is not really new at all. But and then the mobile stuff that I do is using a package called Xamarin Android, which is using C#. And we're just starting to get into React web development.
Okay, got it. Got it. So how much, because you said you're one of about seven engineers on your big team. How much are you working, like, directly interacting with the other people on projects? Or is it more like you're assigned your bit and off you go and you get it done and they assign you another thing?
So it kind of depends on the project. On the mobile stuff, we started as a two-person team, and then I kind of branched off into doing the Android side of it, and then I'm kind of by myself on that.
Mm-hmm.
But on the main focus on what most of the developers do, it's we all kind of have our own little mini projects. The way that the software is broken up, it's all in modules. So, like, there's a batch manufacturing module and accounting module and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And each module within that has individual screens where you do specific things. So a pretty easy one to understand, it's like the users accounts module. And so there's a specific screen for users and groups. So, you know, setting some users to have to be part of certain groups and then some groups to have certain users in them, stuff like that. So one person would generally get a project to work on an entire module to convert it. Sometimes you'll have people working on it in and out, but for the most part, each individual module gets an individual person working on them. It works out nicely because there's just enough of the, like, really large major modules that we have, you know, compared to the people. So each of us is kind of working on their own large module as well as some little things here and there. So I've been working on some of the accounting stuff mostly. You know, some of my coworkers are working on the batch stuff and stuff like that. We have a couple people who are doing individualized things. Like, we have a lot of reports. So one person is working on all the reports because they're all kind of tied in together. But, yeah, for the most part, we get kind of mostly individualized projects that we work on separately but kind of come together occasionally.
Got it. And when you say you work mostly in the accounting stuff, is this, again, that just converting it to a different type of of programming language, or are you talking about implementing new features?
A little bit of both. The main purpose is to kind of get it over from the old stuff to the new stuff. And for the most part, we're not adding too much new stuff. But when it comes to a screen that was written in like 1995 and, you know, really needs to be upgraded, we do that as well. So, like, one thing that I worked on recently, Everyone complained about it. All the customers hated it. No one at the office even knew how it worked because it was written by someone that's now on a different team. It was just kind of really backwards. So that one was a really major project to kind of just completely redo it and, in a new style that would work a lot better. But, for the most part, I think what a lot of them are is, just kind of transferring it from the old stuff to the new stuff. The problem is that it's not, most of the code does not translate directly. It is kind of still in the VB realm, which, if you know anything about it, kind of does translate.
VB meaning Visual Basic.
Right, Visual Basic. And, it is 6 to .NET, so there is some kind of translation where it does make sense. But for the most part, because Visual Basic 6 is non-object-oriented, it kind of is written in a whole different style. So, for the most part, we're just converting it.
Got it. I'm sure it varies a bit, but about how many hours a week do you work?
About 40. We have a pretty set schedule. We don't have like really hard hours that we have to come in, but the general assumption is that you're going to do 8 hours a day plus a hour lunch.
Gotcha. Cool. And can you walk us sort of hour by hour through what a typical work day would be for you?
Sure. So I get in at 7:30-ish. And when I get in, most people aren't there yet. So I'll usually go through my email just to be sure that there's nothing coming in for me. We get developer specific questions from people sometimes. So I'll go through that sometimes like that. And I also have the specific customer that's doing beta testing for me for the mobile app. So I'll usually make sure that I've taken care of all of his issues in the meantime. And then, from then on to the most of the rest of the day, I'm basically just working on something, whatever that project is for the day. From then to, whenever the next thing comes up, if something major comes up in the middle of the day, I'll just kind of drop everything and work on it. But since I don't really deal with customers too much, I don't have to do that too often. On certain days of the week, so Tuesday and Friday, we have meetings. And that's general team meetings, and then we have a specific developer meeting. But for the most part, other than that, we kind of just work on whatever we need to work on, kind of just day in, day out, and that kind of thing.
Gotcha. Very cool. I assume, by the way, that you're a salaried employee or
opposed
to a contractor?
Yes, I'm salary.
Nice. And, I was curious in terms of your team, because as you say, there are customer support people, there are developers. Mm-hmm. My wife is actually a software quality engineer. Like,
sure.
I've heard of some places, especially smaller ones, where the developers mm-hmm. take on many different tasks, and others where the designer designs something and then they code it, and then somebody else, does the testing, and then there's the project manager who keeps track of everything. And kind of which way does your company roll?
Definitely towards the first end of that one. Up until recently, the whole code was designed by like three people. Mm-hmm. So they did basically everything. They've now hired three of us that have kind of come in fresh from college. So it's a little bit more structured now with a project leader kind of position and then the people under them. But it's still, for the most part, when we get a module to work on, it's kind of just expected that we're going to do everything from looking at the old code to understand what it does, although we get help from other people who have been there longer. So looking from what the old code does to translating it into the new code and then designing what the form should look like and then, modeling it out, writing all the code for it, checking that we got all the custom options that have been written 20 years ago, making sure that all works, testing it, and then getting it out to the customer.
Got it. Interesting. So, all right. So one of the criteria that you had to hit to qualify for these interviews mm-hmm. is that you enjoy what you do.
Yeah.
So I'd love to hear, what is it about being a software developer that you enjoy?
So I've always enjoyed kind of like the puzzle aspect of just anything that has that included in it. So you know, music has that a little bit, and I enjoy that aspect of writing music. But that's kind of the main focus of coding, in my opinion. It's kind of figuring out the puzzle of how you get it to work. You know, you have an idea of what it, you want it to do, and at least in front-end coding, where you're dealing directly with something that someone touches and interacts with.
Right. Most back of what end is like the internal processes, and front end is what the customer sees.
Exactly. Yeah. And so since most of what we do is front end, you generally will have a very simplistic problem to deal with, and you usually have to come up with a complicated answer on how to get it to work. So I've always enjoyed that kind of problem. I've always kind of been someone to like dealing with things with my hands, and although this doesn't directly deal with that, it still kind of engages my mind with that kind of thing. So I enjoy doing that.
Very cool. All right, let's take it back now to 2017.
Sure.
Although if you feel the story as an logical earlier starting point, we can go back further. Because I don't know, I'm guessing you're not thinking software engineer developers you graduate. Maybe you are. Like, put us in your headspace as things were wrapping up at Berkeley, and then we'll take it one step at a time from there to where you are now, both where you're doing, but also where you were at.
So I do actually have to take it a little bit further than that, because I did actually start this job 2 or 3 weeks after I graduated from Berkeley. So it makes more sense to take it back further.
Sure.
There is a bit of context that I left out in that. The kind of project leader, I don't know exactly what his title is, but the kind of head of our team, half the company, is my father. So he is the main reason why I got into this in the first place. He's been, you know, he is a software developer by trade, and he's done that for most of his life. And for most of my life, he's tried to get me into it, not like really pushing, but he always thought that I'd be interested in it. Now, being a teenager, I didn't want to listen to him, so I, you know, always kind of resisted it. And what he tried to get me into was not really what I ever thought I would be into in the first place, because he kind of showed me the basics of coding. Mm-hmm. And at that time, object-oriented coding was not really a big thing. Back, you know, 10, 15 years ago, it was just kind of starting to be a major section of the coding sphere, and he wasn't really part of that yet because he's kind of lagging behind. And so, you know, he kind of tried to get me into just general coding, but as a 12-year-old, it wasn't really what interested me. So I never really thought about it as a real thing I wanted to do. But I did intern there as like probably a freshman in college. So I got an idea of what the workplace culture was like.
Could I ask
Sure.
Doing what as an intern?
What was I doing? I think it was like probably data entry of some sort. I think what they were doing at the time was updating the help file. You know, like how you have like a help file of any software.
Yeah.
I think what they were doing was updating it from some of the older stuff to newer screenshots and stuff like that. So I'm pretty sure what I was doing was updating the screenshots, going through what the software did and making sure that it was still up to date, and changing it and editing it where it was necessary to do so. So nothing really coding related. I was, you know, I was looking at some of the code to make sure that it did the same thing, but for the most part, I was mostly just using the software, not really developing for it.
Got it. So you said you did an internship.
Right. So I did an internship, I think, the freshman year in college, mm-hmm. Over the summer. And, you know, I got an idea of what the company was like, but I still wasn't, like, super into development. But I think it was in sophomore year of college was when I got more into software development, because that was when I got into video game scoring. I started school as a film scoring major, and I was thinking about doing video game scoring because I've always been into video games, but I wasn't into the kind of development side of it. But then, as you will often find when you do video game scoring, you kind of want to have a game to put your scores into and not necessarily be able to find someone to just have a game for you to write for. So you'd be like, well, okay, I'll just make one myself. So that's kind of how I ended up in that path doing development.
So you would actually make crude little video games
Yeah,
to see your
yeah.
kid. Well, is this? I'm curious. Like, is this a common thing among the video game scoring crowd, or were you like the one person who did this?
I would say I was definitely a lot further down this rabbit hole than most people, but I think if you talk to anyone that did video game scoring, especially some of the earlier classes in it, a lot of them will have done some of this stuff to at least varying degrees. There was one class that I took at least that was at the very start of the video game scoring minor. I'm not remembering the name of it. It's taught by Lori Landy, and I think she's still there.
Oh yeah, go on.
And it was basically a class of teaching you the basics of video games and how they related to interacting with them and music and a little bit. And one of the projects, or a couple of the projects, I think, were building games. You know, they mostly were kind of pre-built for you, but it was building a game and then putting some music into it. It was a very basic project, but I kind of took it to a further extreme because I, you know, came up with some idea and then said, oh, I want to make it do this. And it didn't do that by default. So I was like, well, I'll figure it out. And that's kind of how I got down that path. But I think it's
And were you
relatively.
building these just for yourself, or did word get out?
No, it was mostly for myself. I mean, I
Okay.
enjoyed doing it, so it was mostly a hobby, I would say.
Okay.
But yeah, so
So
then,
that's the second year. So then, yeah, what happens that next
so
time?
by the next year, I was already doing a little bit more as a hobby. Junior and senior year is kind of where it really picked up, especially senior year. In my senior year, as our senior project in like that, what was it, the spring semester of summer of 2017, the final project, I guess you could say, was just to make a game and put music in it. Now, I think most of my classmates spent more time on the music aspect of it than the game aspect of it. And I think some people worked with other kids in other schools to get a game that's already made for them so that they could just put their music in it.
Sure.
But me taking more of my hobbies of building games, and I had a lot of free time that semester because I didn't have too many classes left. I got very into the game aspect of of the project, and I ended up spending way more time working on the game than I think I worked on music for it, funnily enough. But when I finished, I was pretty proud of what I had done. And I don't remember exactly when it was, but it was at some sort of session or something where they were kind of talking about getting into the industry, the scoring industry, the video game film scoring industry. And they were kind of talking about the realistic aspect of it and, you know, how long it would take to get into it and what it would involve. And I was kind of thinking, I
And
was.
so in that translation, it sounds like, you'd have to be very lucky to get a good job right away.
Yes, exactly. And I was kind of thinking, well, I'm kind of getting more into the coding side of it anyway, so maybe I'll think about getting some sort of internship doing that. And so my dad had mentioned to me that he could theoretically get me an internship at his company doing development because I was telling him along the way what I was doing. And at that point, I think it was around March or maybe April. And I was like, oh, maybe you could get me that internship that you kind of talked to me about before. And so that's kind of how it went down. He talked to his boss, and I was very lucky at the time. That was right when we were doing a pretty big hiring phase. And so his boss, or the I guess the president of the company, was kind of just like, yeah, sure, just give him an internship, give him a job, I don't care. So I was able to do this internship, and
Can I ask,
what
was this like a paid internship? Was it
yeah
with kind of
yeah
a relatively low paid, or sort of,
uh
or was
yeah.
it a kind of, because I've heard of sometimes people at business school do what's called an internship, but they're, getting the equivalent of full-time jobs paid.
Yeah. Kelly, take care of that.
Yeah, hold on just a second.
Yeah, sure.
Hello? Not in, bye. I swear.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah, so no, this was a paid internship. I think it was around like $20 an hour, so okay. Not bad.
Definitely not bad.
You know, I think that's around when I moved out because some of my friends were moving out at the same time, and you know, I was figuring that most likely I would get hired full time. But
and remind me where you are again.
I live in New Jersey. I was
the company.
Yeah, the company's in New Jersey as well. My hometown is like probably half an hour from the company. And I moved pretty similar distance away, probably like 40 minutes away.
Gotcha. So, and then how long, evidently this internship turned into a job at some point. How did that process come about?
So I was working on Android project for I think like 3 months. So I think I started in early June, and then I was off the job in I think beginning of September. I think September 1st was my first official day, and yeah, that's basically how it went down. I was just kind of promoted to a full-time position. At that point, kind of the people I was working with there, I'd already gotten to know me and kind of was just like, oh yeah, he started full-time. And everyone was like, okay, that's, I figured that was going to happen. And we were like, okay. So, yeah, it was a pretty smooth transition. And, yeah, so, I've been working there now full-time for, I guess, almost 2 years.
Got it. Yeah, can I just ask, because you said it as sort of relayed back, like, yeah, job prospects didn't look great for a video game, so I figured, yeah, I like coding. Is that really kind of what you were thinking at the time? Or
I had some friends who were doing internships and other kind of bigger stuff in the video game industry, so it didn't seem like it was impossible to get that kind of stuff. You know, I knew I had tried to get an internship, I think it's Sony, that I didn't end up getting the year before. But I wasn't, like, super burnt out at that point. You know, I was only just graduating. But some of what was said in the whatever that workshop thing was that I went to didn't scare me exactly, but it kind of just put the I don't know what the word for it is, but it kind of just showed me what it was really like to like think about that kind of thing for real, because you know I was a college student, I wasn't really thinking about any of that stuff until kind of that moment, and I was like, well, yeah, I don't know how I would really feel just kind of bumming out in my parents' basement and trying to find work, especially in New Jersey where there's not that much in terms of video game work to be had. There's a little bit in New York, but it's not quite as big as LA and that kind of area. So I was like, well, I don't know. So, you know, I wasn't super worried from the start because, you know, my dad had offered me to get an internship anyway, but I just wasn't super interested in taking it because what he had originally offered before I was interested in coding was to do customer support. Mm-hmm. And I've never really been interested in that in the first place. But, you know, when I got into the coding aspect of it, I was like, well, you know, if I could do, software development, then, you know, I'd probably be more interested. So that's kind of how I was thinking. You know, I wasn't super freaking out, but I definitely was, a little bit more worried.
Gotcha. Very fair. And as you say, you just internship turned into a job in September of 2017, and here we are almost 2 years later.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. So, all right, now let's move on to the third part of the interview of three.
Okay.
My first question for you, and I'll say that there's no right or wrong answer, is these days, like the springs and summer of 2019,
sure.
What, if anything, is your relationship with music?
So, I've kind of gone back and forth over the past couple of years. When I originally started at my company, people were asking me, it was like, oh, do you want to get back into music at some point, or what are you doing with music? And my response was almost always like, yeah, I think I'll get back into it. I'm going to take a little break to focus on this job, but you know, I kind of want to get back into it eventually. But as I've gone more and more years here, doing what I do, I've started to enjoy this more than I ever did with music. And not only that, I started to feel towards the end of Berklee that music was becoming more of a job and less of a passion. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really like that feeling, because I always loved music as, you know, as a, not necessarily a hobby, but just something that I did. But it started to feel less and less like that. So I enjoyed listening to music less and just enjoying music. And I didn't really like that. So as it got further and further down the line, I was like, well, do I really want to go back to music? And the answer has kind of gotten clearer and clearer in my head that no, I don't really. And, you know, I probably will eventually get back into music as a hobby. But I don't think I would ever really go back in any sort of professional manner. You know, that being said, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think what I learned at Berklee was valuable, but I don't think I would ever really get back into it in the way that I was learning at Berklee.
Sure. But it sounds like you're sort of on a hiatus from music in terms of your, at the moment, you're not like composing or gigging.
Yes, that is correct.
Cool. And so it related to something you actually just mentioned is that, mm-hmm. of course, there are many software developers, some of whom went to school for computer science, many of whom got into it through a different path.
Mm-hmm.
A small minority of them are music college graduates.
Yeah.
So let's assume you'd have gone to college somewhere.
Right.
And you'd have a bachelor's degree one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything, thinking of your current role as a software developer,
yeah.
is there anything you feel your Berklee experience did particularly well to prepare you for what you're doing now?
Specifically over any other sort of bachelor's degree or... just in general?
Both. I mean, not necessarily relative to if you'd studied computer science at MIT.
Yeah.
But
okay. Yeah, fair enough.
if you'd gone to, you know, Rutgers and studied something else. And, yeah, just in general, let's say Berklee degree. I'm going for if it was gave you anything beyond what any college degree could reasonably give someone.
Well, okay, so I'll say this. I don't think I would be where I am if I hadn't gone to Berklee. And that's mostly because no other school, as far as I know, offers such a comprehensive video game scoring program. And I don't think I really would have fallen into this path without that kind of push. You know, I got into... coding from the music aspect of it because I was forced to, not that I didn't enjoy it, but you know, I kind of had to if I wanted to make games with my music in them. And I don't know if I would have gotten into that aspect of music and scoring if I hadn't gone to a place that had so much of it. And even more than that, you know, I don't know if I would have gotten into music in this aspect at all if Berklee didn't have that much of a film scoring department. So, you know, I definitely learned a lot about like technology and stuff like that at Berklee. That's kind of where I focused the most. And, you know, I took some of the more advanced coding stuff, you know, what we do have at Berklee. Mm-hmm. I took those classes. And, you know, I don't know specifically if any of the classes that I took in music really helped me that much for getting into coding, because it's somewhat relatable, but not really.
Okay.
But it certainly got me onto that path, and I don't think any other school would have really done that.
All right, very fair. Well, hey, let's turn that question around now. Because Berklee gives that one degree, the Bachelor's in Music, and mm-hmm. you went there knowing that, and you've done quite well for yourself.
Yeah.
But all that said, when you look back at your Berklee education, is there anything where you say, you know, hey, it would have been really useful to have learned this while I was at Berklee, and they could have taught it to me, and they didn't? Anything missing or incomplete?
You know, if you're going to music, or if you're going to Berklee, you most likely, at least when you start, imagine yourself going into a career in music. And I really don't see any classes that Berklee doesn't have that's a clear lacking if you are going into music. Now, that being said, I know a lot of people, even personally, that didn't end up in music after going to Berklee. Now, they didn't necessarily imagine themselves in that spot when they started, and I certainly didn't. But, you know, that's just kind of where they are. You know, should Berklee offer those other classes for completely other things? I don't know, and I don't really think so, because it's not, you know, it would certainly, for me at least, it would have been useful to have a very in-depth background class on specific coding things. But, you know, would that benefit someone that got into accounting after Berklee? No, not really. And, you know, an accounting class wouldn't have helped me, even though I think Berklee does have some sort of accounting class. But, you know, the point I'm trying to get is that Berklee, I think, offers everything that a music career-oriented person would need, at least everything I would have needed when I was there. But for people that end up in a different path, there's no real way to say what could have been useful, you know, for you, because it just could be so random.
True. One might say perhaps that a little bit of exposure to different things.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair. I think Berklee does have some classes in general stuff, but they're not really pushed very much. And I think it could be useful to be just kind of pushed by the kind of first few people that you talk to at Berklee to say, hey, maybe you should check out some of these other classes. Now, the thing is about that, though, is that you can't really get that deep into it. You know, the most advanced coding class, at least at Berklee, gets, you know, into stuff that I think I covered in about a couple weeks at my job. So, you know, it's not really in depth. But and if you took that and then found yourself very, very interested in that, there's not much else you can do other than just taking classes at other schools. But I think it would be useful for students to get an idea of what some of these other kind of fields are like, because when you do go to Berklee, it's very much music all the time. And at least in my experience, my idea going into it was, yeah, I'll take this music class and I'll take that music class. And anything that wasn't music, I was like, why do I need that? So I really didn't take any of those until later on when I figured, oh, maybe I should take some of these other classes.
Sure, very fair. And yeah. So I actually sort of a bit related to that.
Sure.
So, you know, it's true, you did have a connection to the company that you're at. Far from the only person who's had that sort of connection.
Yeah.
On the first job. So point is, as you said, you kind of quickly figured this out and got on this path.
Yeah.
A lot of people, if let's say class of 17, haven't yet found that path.
Yeah.
And also, right, people their last year at Berklee may be staring out into the world and starting to maybe hearing that thing you heard about the career prospects and going, oh my God, what's going to happen?
So, yeah, no, that's definitely true.
So, like, for either or both of those groups, what advice do you have?
Well, I think that just continue doing something that you enjoy doing. Coding for me was something that I really liked, and it was definitely a hobby at first, but it turned into something that I could do as a living, and I've enjoyed it ever since. Now, if music is the thing that you enjoy most and you don't mind it as a career, because I didn't like that as a career, but for a lot of people, that's fine, so do that. But if you don't see yourself as thinking that you need to do that as a career, don't force yourself to do it, because when I was thinking about doing that, I didn't enjoy music nearly as much as I do now and I did before. So don't force yourself to just continue doing that. You know, that's what you went to school for. Yes, you did, you know, go to Berkeley, you spent a lot of time doing that, but it's not impossible to get into other things. You know, I have a friend who, my roommate throughout college, he went back to school for accounting. That's what I was kind of picking up on earlier. And now he's working at, what's the company called? PwC, I think. It's a company in New York City. Okay. Doing accounting. And it's, you know, obviously completely different. He graduated at the same time as me. Took him a little while to kind of figure out what he wanted to do. But turns out that's what he likes, so that's what he's doing. And I think that's okay. You know, you don't have to figure it out immediately. I got kind of lucky that I was kind of directed onto that path early on. But I know that it takes a while for a lot of people. But I think you eventually can find it. And you can definitely get into something later, and you don't have to worry about it. It's not the end of the world. You know, it might take you a while, but you can certainly get there. And it's okay to do something different.
Sure, very cool. And now, let's talk specifically about you and your role as a software developer, because you're my 175th interview.
Yeah.
But I feel like if you look, I somehow, for some reason, broke separated software engineer from web developer, but I feel like you may be my eighth or ninth engineer, and then there's at least a half dozen web developers. So it's actually one of the more common careers I found.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's still, which is fine. But the point is that, like, yeah, evidently a lot of Berkeley grads are attracted to this as a career.
Yeah.
And there certainly is a lot to recommend it. So for mm-hmm. somebody who's not yet doing it, but is sort of thinking, you know, hey, yeah, coding could be kind of cool, and it certainly has pretty good career prospects. Do you have any specific advice for them?
So, first of all, there's way more jobs than Amazon and Google. That's what everyone says. You know, they're like, oh, get a coding job, you get paid boatloads, and you get, you know, great job at, you know, Google or Facebook or Amazon or something like that. Yes, those jobs do exist. I've had friends that did internships at those places. I have a couple friends who work there at a couple of those places. But you don't need a job in that kind of space. It's very, very competitive. I would say probably at one of those jobs, probably more competitive than a job in music. At least some of them, mm-hmm. but there are loads and loads of software development jobs in loads of places. If you think about it, and the reason why software development is so attractive to a lot of people, every company basically needs at least a few software developers, because basically every company has a website. So even if it's not a software company like mine, they need some people to work on a website, to do back-end stuff, to do even front-end stuff for an app that they're working on. There's so many companies out there, whether it be a big company that you can name off the top of your head or a small company like Datacore that you've certainly never heard of, because I can assure you that no one in this audience has ever heard of Datacore. But, you know, plenty of these companies do exist, and getting to one of them is not that hard. You know, I didn't have a degree in computer science. I think of the two people that were also hired at the same time as me, one of them was doing computer science, but the other one was not. And some of the other developers at my job were not developers by, you know, when they graduated. But it's certainly easy to get into, at least if you have the skill for it. And you don't need to get one of these kind of super high-flying jobs. I really enjoy my job because of the kind of work-life balance that it affords me, which I think is something that Berkeley students tend to kind of forget. You know, when you're doing music, you kind of know that you're going to be having to hustle a lot to really get anywhere. And that is a lot of time doing that. And you're not necessarily doing a 9-to-5 job, but you're certainly, you know, treating your life as that and probably a lot more. But at my job, I get in at 7:30 in the morning and I leave at 4:30. So, you know, I go home and I don't have to think about work all day. And I really like that because, you know, it's gives me a lot of other time to do other stuff. I can, you know, if I wanted to, I could do music on the side. I choose to do a lot of video games and stuff like that.
Cool.
But, yeah, that's just kind of where I'm at.
Awesome. All right. Well, great. I just have one last question for you, Ross.
Sure.
Which is, you have the mic. Is there anything we missed or anything else you'd like to say?
I don't think so. I think I'm good.
All right, very good. Well, we can declare victory here then. Well, hey, I really appreciate you making the time. And
glad
we got to have this conversation. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, this was good.
All right. Well, have a great evening and look for a message from me in the near future.
You too. Thank you.
All right, bye now.
All right, bye.